And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let's pray. Lord, we continue our study today in this critical passage of Scripture. We simply say before you today, continue to compel us, to remind us, to convict us of the absolute importance of maturing in the faith, of growing into the full stature of the measure of Christ. Lord, otherwise we know if we're not maturing, we're in the process of immaturing, of being tossed to and fro, of being susceptible to the craftiness and schemes of Satan and false prophets. Help us today, Lord, to depend on you, to mature us in the faith as we abide in your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. It is a joy to be able to worship alongside of you this morning and for us to dive into God's word together and continue walking through these verses in Ephesians chapter 4. And as David said, we're kind of camping out in this section of verses, these short verses, over 3 weeks, and really trying to lean into everything that's here because these are so important for us as a church family, for any church, but especially for us. We talk about we have some guiding core practices that shape the way in which we pursue Jesus alongside one another. And one of those is equip the saints. It comes from this passage. So we're taking a little bit of extra time to kind of go through slowly and kind of mine the depths of what's here and the implications for your life and for my life. But they're also just important for this kind of cultural moment that we live in. There's unique challenges that facing us as individuals and as a church as a whole, that this passage specifically speaks to when we think about growing up, maturing in the faith, becoming more like Jesus, fighting for that in the lives of one another. And so I've got a few things I want to encourage you to do before we kind of dive into the text. I said this last week, and I'll say this again. Like, I want to challenge you to lean in. So for today, for next week, just lean into what we're talking about. Study this passage on your own. There's all kinds of resources available online for you. If you weren't here last week, go back and download the notes from last week. Kind of think through, pray through these things. Same thing for next week. If you're going to miss next week, go back, grab those notes, just lean in and really wrestle through, Lord, what is my next step? How should I respond? What does this look like for me within my go group, within my family, within this church body? Second thing I want to challenge you to do is very specific and practical today, is stay through the end of the service. So as a part of this message series, we're going to have an elder conversation today after the response time where we're really going to get practical. Like, what do these things look like for us at Tri-Cities? And our hope and prayer is every time we do an elder conversation that you'd stay and be a part of that if you're, this is your church family, so that you can lean in and grow and be alongside of one another in that pursuit. But I really, as someone who loves you and cares about you, want to ask, hey, don't leave during the response time. Like, that's your time to respond to Jesus. Stay for the elder conversation. Be a part so that you can go into your pursuit of other people in this church body and be able to talk about these things. And then the last thing, kind of as a challenge, just want to give you as we get started this morning, is don't lower the bar. So if you were here last week, we kind of talked about, and I kind of gave some silly examples of ways that our culture lowers standards, lowers the bar, and We talked about how we do that personally in our own abiding pursuit of Jesus. We tend to lower the bar to where we are instead of look at the standard that Jesus has set. And the same thing, not just for your personal abiding in Jesus or my personal abiding in Jesus, but there's a real temptation for you and for me to lower the bar, lower the standard when it comes to our loving pursuit of one another. What Jesus calls his church, his body, to. And so don't lower the bar. Own your challenges. Talked about this last week. Own your excuses. Like, we all have excuses. We have reasons for why we can't do that, or that's beyond us, or why that's difficult in the season we're in, or that's not kind of our personality type or gifting. Let's own those. Let's talk about those together, and let's grow together. And here's why it matters, because when we lower the bar, we're not just lowering the bar for ourselves. When we lower the bar, that affects people around us. Like, our decisions and our indecisions are never just independent, focused on us. There's consequences, there's ramifications for people around us. Like, I can give a silly example. So I'm a dad, have four kids, fantastic four. And let's just say that I decide I want to pursue my lifelong dream of playing in the NFL for the Dallas Cowboys. Like, this is my dream. I know you're looking at me like, yeah, I could see that. You know, it's physically, it's there. So I've watched a lot of Dallas football. I've played Madden. I've thrown ball with the kids out in the yard. And we're just going to leave it all. I'm going to walk away from the ministry, sell the house, move to Texas, and we're just going to go for it. Well, I would hope that a couple of you, most of you, would love me enough to say, hey, slow down a second. Do you really think that's a good idea? Is that wise? I mean, again, I know you're strong and athletic and all those kinds of things, but NFL level, like, is that really wise? And what I hope you would appeal is not just for me personally, but I'd hope some of you would appeal for me for my family. Is that really what's best for your children? For Katie? I mean, what's going to happen to them if this fails? What's going to happen to them if you uproot them from this community and from stability and income? What are the ramifications? What are the consequences of that? See, our decisions are never just our decisions. They have implications that affect other people. So that's a silly example. Let me give a real example. This is a real example for me, personally. If I neglect my abiding pursuit of growing in Jesus, the calling that God has placed on me, Ephesians 5, we're going to love Katie sacrificially like Jesus has loved me, to disciple my children, Ephesians 6, that we're going to bring them up in the discipline, the instruction of the Lord. If I don't do that, it doesn't just affect me. It affects them. It affects Katie's growth in Christ. If I don't intentionally pursue my sons, my daughter, help them grow in the faith, it doesn't just affect me, it affects them. The same happens within the body of Christ. It's true for us, for one another. When we lower the bar personally on our pursuit of Jesus and our pursuit of one another, building up the body, as we talked about last week, it has consequences. And not just, oh, well, that person can lean on someone else. No, it has consequences for their maturity, for their faith. That's what Pastor David was talking about. We read this passage. It talks about being tossed to and fro by waves and wind, being children and immature. Like, there are real consequences for one another when we don't pursue each other, when we don't help each other grow up into Jesus. It not only affects us, has implications for our church family. And that's what we're going to look at for a few minutes this morning, which leads to the importance of our big truth. So we gave this last week, bring it back this week. Our big truth this morning is this: Jesus followers equip one another to walk in his likeness. Jesus followers equip one another to walk in his likeness. This is something that we are called and commanded to do. It's not a suggestion or recommendation or when you arrive or when you become spiritual enough. No, if you are in Christ this morning, you are a believer. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You are called to equip others, one another in the body of Christ to walk, to live, to move in faith, to become like Jesus Christ. And in verse 16, what the Apostle Paul tells us is when this is happening, the result is the body builds itself up, becoming more like Jesus, in love. This is God's good design for you and for me and for us as his people, his church. So last week, we kind of wrestled through the question, how do we grow? How do we grow? How do we mature? How do we help others become like Jesus? How do we pursue this? What is God's design for this? And we looked at some of the gifts for growth that God has given to us, his church, and the outcomes of those gifts. And so, again, you can go back and get all this, but I'll just kind of recap really quickly. There were three gifts that Jesus gives his church to help us pursue building one another up in him. The first was this, himself. Jesus is the head of the church and the means of her unity, gifting, and growth. That's the first big idea from last week. And so the important thing here is to remember that all growth in Jesus begins with Jesus. It starts with him. It finishes with him. He is the first gift that is given to us, the saints. The second gift that he's given us is one another. He's given us the body of Christ. And this body, you and I collectively together, are graciously gifted. So he gives us himself, he gives us one another, and then third, he gives leaders. He gives leaders to the church. Jesus' body has been gifted with leaders. Those leaders are gifted to proclaim the gospel, to teach the word of God. We see those in verse 11. And so these three gifts have been given to the church, to local congregations to help them grow. Well, what are the outcomes? What's supposed to happen in light of that? Three things. Jesus' leaders, what are they called to do? They equip the saints. They equip the saints. Verse 12. They train, they repair, they restore, they build up, they make ready the church of God through, most prominently, the teaching of God's word. Equip you for the work of ministry. Well, then what do the saints do? Jesus' saints do the work of ministry. That was the next big idea. So leaders equip the saints, but then the saints do the work of ministry. Verse 12, you and I are called to ministry, called to this work. It is our vocation given to us by God for one another. Well, what is the work of ministry that we're called to? It was the last big idea. The work of ministry is the building up of the body of Christ. And so last week we spent time talking about this big idea, what it means to build one another up. How does that happen? But I hope you see the progression. Jesus is the head of the church. He's gifted his body. He's given the body leaders. Those leaders equip the saints. The saints do the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry that we are called to do collectively is the building up of one another, to help one another become like Jesus. So that raises two questions that I want us to look at this morning from this passage. First, what is maturity? What is maturity? What does it mean to become like Jesus? How do we help one another grow into Christ's likeness? What does that mean? Then secondly, what is at stake if we don't help each other grow? What is the consequence if we don't pursue building up one another? What will happen, not might happen, what will happen to this body if we do not do what God has called us to do? If we are not faithful to this work of ministry, what are the consequences for us? So first question, what is maturity? Two big ideas we're going to chase this morning. First one is this, maturity is the goal of building up the body of Christ. Maturity is the goal. It is the pursuit. It is the end of building up the body of Christ. Well, what is building up? We talked about last week and go back and listen to it. It is helping one another grow. It's discipling one another. It's helping one another become more like Jesus. Well, what is the end goal of that? It is maturity. We see that in verse 13 and verse 15. Until we all attain to the unity of faith, to mature manhood, to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. In verse 15, that we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Maturity is the goal. Okay, so What does that mean? What is maturity? Well, I think the Apostle Paul gives us a couple descriptions of maturity here. First, maturity is a pursuit. It's a pursuit. It's not a thing we do one day. It is an ongoing pursuit. It is a becoming. The purpose of building up Jesus' body is the fullness, the stature of Jesus. From conversion, the beginning of a disciple's journey, to saturation, totality, becoming like Christ. But here's the reality. At conversion, we are one with Christ. We are in Him. We have been made holy. But there's a big leap from where we are into becoming who we are, right? And that's the Christian life. That's the pursuit. That's the growing that's there. There's a couple words that are in this verse that help us see that. The first one is until. Until in the original language, it's a temporal word. It means and assumes there is a culmination. There is an end that's coming. It's kind of like being on a clock and you've only got an hour and there's a countdown timer. Like there is something that's coming for us. There's an end to this. The second word that we see in this verse that's really important is the word attain. Attain is the pursuit of a goal. Again, this is verse 13. Until we all, what? Attain, arrive at, end at. The word attain is used 9 times in the book of Acts when the Apostle Paul and others are going on long journeys and they arrive at the end, the destination. Spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, it is a journey. It is an ongoing pursuit, but it is headed toward some place, toward a destination, toward an arrival point. It's the pursuit of something. So maturity is a pursuit, but also maturity has an end. It has an end. There are aims that demonstrate what we are to be, what we are to become like. And he gives 3 here in the passage. The first is a unified faith. A unified faith. He says, until we all attain unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God. So what's one of the things that we're pursuing in maturity is that we would be unified in our faith, that we'd be united. Faith is confident trust in Jesus Christ. Faith changes the way we live. Faith is an action word. It is submission. It is devotion. It is endurance. It's continuing on. Faith is not just belief, mental belief in something. It is lived out. It is an action. And what Paul's saying is this maturing that's meant to happen is where we collectively, as a body, as God's people, are united in our growing in faith. What is that faith anchored in? Well, it's anchored in the knowledge of the Son of God. Verse 13. Faith is not general belief, it's anchored and rooted in Jesus Christ. The word knowledge means intimacy or fellowship. And you go back to the leaders in the church, verse 11, what are they called to do? They're called to teach sound doctrine, called to teach faith, but also to protect the flock. And so maturity is, one, it's in doctrine, there's a unity of the faith, but secondly, maturity is perfect manhood. Perfect manhood. He uses the word mature manhood. This word mature in the Greek, it means perfect. It's the same word that Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, you must be perfect like your heavenly Father is perfect. It's the same word the author of Hebrews uses to describe Jesus when it says that he became perfect through suffering or being made perfect. And we talked about when we were going through Hebrews, it's not that Jesus wasn't perfect and then became perfect. No, it is his perfection was proven through his suffering, through his obedience. This was the trial that brought that out, that showed it, that made it real and tangible for us. Same thing for us. We're called to mature, to become complete. And he uses the word manhood, that we would be perfect, well-rounded, full in the person that God has created us to be. So we have doctrine, unity of faith. We have development, which is this picture of mature manhood or perfect manhood. But third, we have complete Christ-likeness, the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the bar. Jesus is the standard. This is what we're pursuing. This is what we're becoming like. This word measure, stature, it's spatial language, meaning that you're filling something up, you're becoming something. It functions as a metaphor for spiritual growth. Paul not only wants them to grow, but literally attain the size of Christ, meaning all that Jesus is who we are to become. Not God, like he is God, but in the way that he lived, in the way that he honored the Father, his righteousness being lived out in us for others to see, for his glory. Let's be honest, there's a tension here, the tension versus pursuit versus arrival. And so in a very real sense, we will never in this life fully become like Christ. There's always still more to go. There's always still more growing to do. But in the same way, the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is telling us to grow up and that we can grow up. So maturity in this life, to an extent, is possible. You can go from immaturity to maturity. You can grow up. And that's good news. If God calls us to it, it can happen, and he does that work in us. Amen? Let me try that again. He does that work in us, and it's possible if he's called us to it. Amen? There we go. And so this is not just a pipe dream or aspirational. This is what God's planning and working and doing in you and me. That's good news. It's kind of like an astronomer for NASA who studies space their whole life. From where they started to where they are is massive. But do they understand space? Like, can you fathom space and all of its complexity and unknown? Well, no. So there is maturing, there is maturity, but there is never arrival in the same way in the Christian life. But what I want us to see here that's so important is that the standard, the bar, is Jesus Christ. We don't get to decide what spiritual maturity looks like, what just good enough looks like, what faithfulness looks like. No, Jesus is the standard of faithfulness, not just for pastors, for every believer. Jesus is the standard. Jesus is the measure. We are growing toward him. Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. This is God's desire for us, that we would be conformed, we would be matured, made like Jesus. Colossians 1:28, him we proclaim, Jesus, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. This is God's plan. And so we as a people are called to help one another grow and mature. And so I want to ask the question I asked last week. Are you helping others grow? Do you see the maturing, the growth, the building up of the people in this room? Person to your right, to your left, in front of you, behind you, across the church. Do you see that as your responsibility? Are you pursuing that? What is your next step in that? Are we owning our excuses? Do we really want others to become more like Jesus? Do you want that? Do you feel that burden for others? And so you might be here and say, I don't even know where to start. What does that look like? Well, it looks like pursuit. It looks like faithfulness. It can look like a whole lot of different things. But here at Tri-Cities, the way that we try to help people get started is through go groups. And so a really simple application, next step, is to jump in a go group. It's to be invested in by others. For some of you, it's to start a go group. It's to speak into one another's life, to invite others into pursuing Jesus. The way we do that is through studying the Word. It's through biblical fellowship. It's through serving alongside of one another. And through those things, helping each other grow. You might say, well, how does that work? And we're going to put a couple slides on the screen just so you can kind of see this, because you're going to see this around our church body. How do go groups work? How do we build one another up? Well, first, discipling relationships begin with a plan. A plan. And so a plan always starts with a who, a person, an individual. There is someone or someones that you're helping grow in Jesus. And once you know who those people are, you begin to look at their lives, you talk, and you decide, okay, well, now we need a what. What are we going to try to grow in? Maybe it's studying God's word. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's the fruit of the Spirit. Like, we have who, and now we can see a what we want to pursue, and then we put together a how. We're going to study. We're going to fellowship. We're going to serve alongside each other. Go groups always start with a plan because discipleship requires a plan. It's investment in one another's lives. But discipling relationships don't just have a plan. They deepen through a process, a continual process of conversation that involves observation, looking into one another's lives, asking questions, looking to see how can we grow? What can we add that's missing? What can we expand? This is already growing your life. How can we expand upon that? Or maybe what needs to be restored? What's been neglected in your life? You used to study God's word. You used to have this passion and fire to share the gospel, but you don't. Let's restore that. And so as we're living life together through study, through fellowship, through serving, in a plan, we're observing one another, and this process keeps going. And as that process keeps going, we help one another progress toward Christ's likeness, which happens along a pathway. And the pathway is kind of a picture for our pursuit of Jesus Christ. And these six markers kind of describe in general what that pursuit looks like. Conversion begins the discipling journey. Saturation is the end of that journey. It's totality, becoming like Jesus. And submission, devotion, comprehension, replication show the progressive nature of becoming more like Jesus. Another way of looking at it is kind of like a picture of a target. And we have one of these. So if it starts at conversion, our growth in Jesus, it's not just moving from one thing to the next. It's building. It's not just progressive, but it's deepening. And so the goal is, you can go to the next slide, is that we would become full in every aspect of our life like Jesus, from conversion to saturation. And so the reason why I show you all that and take the time to do that, I just want to say, we have a way for you to help others grow in Jesus. If you're doing this, like you have a plan, you're discipling others, they're growing, they're following Jesus, they're maturing their faith, keep doing that. We don't want you to change to something else. Keep being faithful. But if you're here this morning and say, man, I want to do what Scripture's calling me to do, but I don't know where to get started, Go Group is a great way to get started. Are you building up the church? Which leads to a second question this morning. What is at stake if we don't do this? What is at stake? What's going to happen if we don't? And we see the answer to this in verse 14. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, craftiness, and deceitful schemes. The Apostle Paul could have just bypassed verse 14. He could have just gone, you can read it, from 13 to 15. It would have made sense, but he doesn't. He intentionally pauses to give us a warning. And what is that warning? Here's our last big idea for this morning. Immaturity leads to devastation within Jesus' body. If we don't grow up and we don't help others grow, it leads to devastation. Now, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that there cannot be immaturity in the church. We know there will be. If there are new saints, new converts coming into following Jesus, there will be immaturity. But they shouldn't stay there. They should grow up. They should go on. The no longer language in this verse shows that immaturity is, it's inevitable, it's going to happen, but we don't stay there, we move forward. So here's what we are saying, and this is what I want you to hear this morning, church family. Immaturity, when it is allowed and affirmed, is the primary obstacle to becoming like Jesus. Immaturity, when it's allowed, and worst case scenario, it's affirmed, like we're encouraging people in their immaturity, and we never say it that way, but it's through, oh yeah, this is really hard for you, or things are going in your life right now, I understand, you don't need to pursue that right now, or that's just too much for you, or take your time and come back. If we're not careful, we will affirm the immaturity of one another. Well, why is that devastating? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us two pictures. One, we stay as children. Immaturity like children. This is the contrast. Mature manhood, verse 13. Immature children, verse 14. Well, what does it mean to be an immature child? It means to be vulnerable, to be susceptible, to be gullible, to be easily deceived, easily led astray by our desires, by false teaching, by the things around us, which then leads to the second warning, the second metaphor, being tossed about to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Imagine a boat on the water with sails full, but no anchor, no rudder, in the middle of a storm being tossed all about. This word in the Greek, tossed to and fro, is the same word it talks about in Matthew when the disciples are out on the boat and Jesus is sleeping in the boat in the middle of the storm and the boat's about to be capsized. And they come to Jesus like, wake up, save us. Do you not care that we're drowning? That's the word he's using here. And he's not saying this might happen to you or to me. This is what happens to us when we stay in our immaturity. We get tossed to and fro. We get broken down. And so when you and I neglect pursuing one another, building one another up, helping others become more like Jesus, we are contributing. I want you to hear the weight of this. You and I are contributing to the being tossed to and fro by the winds, the waves of doctrine. You know, several weeks ago, Pastor Daniel used in this analogy, illustration of like going to the beach and like watching kids go out into the ocean for the first time because he's weird and enjoys like seeing kids knocked and devastated and all that. So I have a story, but I'm one of those kids, okay? So he would have enjoyed this, but I was much older. I was probably 10 years old. We're at Myrtle Beach, I'm out in the waves, and I'm karate chopping and punching every wave that comes out. Like, they are enemies, I'm decimating them, it's awesome. But there's this moment where this massive wave comes and grabs me, and I lost the battle to that wave. Pick me up, slam me down, turn me all around, I get up, bloody nose, scrapes all over my body, wave wins, Paul loses kind of thing. The Apostle Paul is saying, this is what happens to the church, to us in our faith, when we don't build one another up. We get tossed about. We get thrown around. We get broken down. Immaturity is susceptible to three things he highlights here. One is false doctrine. If you're not maturing in your faith, you will be susceptible to false teaching. It'll come for you. It'll sound good. It'll sound right. It will draw you in, false teaching and false teachers. You'll believe the lies of this age. Secondly, immaturity is susceptible to human cunning. Human cunning. This word is often used in Greek literature for gambling. And the idea is that in betting and gambling, people would weight the dice. They would cheat one another. They would take advantage of one another. You and I in our faith will be taken advantage of in immaturity. And lastly, he says deceitful schemes, lies. Lies. Lies that appeal to the mind, appeal to the flesh, appeal to the heart. Immaturity leads to devastation within the body. So the question for you and for me this morning is this: are we helping one another grow? Are we committed to building one another up? And so I just want to transition for a moment into a time of response. And I want you to wrestle with this for a moment. The band's going to lead us in a song. They'll be up. And I just want to let you bow your head where you are. And I know that's kind of a lot to take in, but just really simply this morning, what is your next step in helping other people grow and become like Jesus? For some of you this morning, you're doing it. You're helping people grow up. You are pursuing, you're discipling, you're investing. And so maybe this morning for the response for you, it's don't grow weary in doing good. Thank God for his work in you and his work in others and ask him for the strength to continue on. For others, you want to grow personally, you're trying. The thought of helping others might seem overwhelming, seem daunting to you. And so the response might just be obedience, faith. Lord, I don't feel qualified to do this, but I want to be faithful. Would you help me? For some of you this morning, you might be the one getting tossed all about. You feel bloody and bruised spiritually. You feel broken or beat up. And this morning is an opportunity for you to lean into God's people. to be equipped, to pursue community, to pursue being discipled, investing in. For some of you, you're growing and it's time to help others grow. It's time to move forward. It's time to pursue others. For some, maybe you're just making excuses. It's an opportunity to repent. What is your next step? Father God, we give ourselves to you this morning. There's so much that we could say. And we thank you for your word, how your kindness leads us to repentance, how it warns us of the things that we are prone and how we're prone to wander. And so this morning we ask that you would take our hearts, you would seal it, that you would draw us back, that you would help us to pursue and grow. Lord, we want to become more like you. We want to be a church that's building one another up in love. We can't do that apart from you. So would you do that work in us? And it's in Jesus' name we pray.